Good evening, church family. Aren't we here to praise the name of the Lord our God? And thank you so much for coming out to church tonight. I know that everybody is busy, but there's nothing better going on in town than in the house of God. Amen. And I'm humbled to be here. I'm humbled to be alive. I've been here on a number of occasions for the Revive Youth Conference. I've never been here for a church service. I want to say thank you to your pastor, who's been a friend for a long time. And he laughs sometimes because he tried to get me to come up to Michigan, but he tried in February. And I was afraid. I wasn't afraid about getting there. I was afraid about getting stuck, all right? So now I tell him, you see, you preach for Brother Jenkins? I say, absolutely. He moved to North Carolina, amen. So I really appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to come. Thank you for your commitment to the Lord all these years. And thank you, church, for the opportunity to be here. Chasten came down with me, and I'm really, 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 really thankful. I really believe that the greatest need for mankind, for anybody all over the world, is evangelization. That means everybody needs to be saved. Amen. You agree with that? Amen. I'm going to say it again. If you agree with it, say a really loud amen. Everybody needs to be saved.
Amen.
But the greatest need for the church is revival.
Yes, sir.
And you can't be revived unless you've been vibed in the first place. And that rekindling in our hearts. And that's my greatest burden. Preacher, years ago, I felt like a lot of my time outside of being at church was preaching a lot of conferences. And I still do preach some conferences, but I'll be honest with you, nothing stirs my heart more than to be able to preach to local churches. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity to preach to this church tonight and to be reminded that the hope for America is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the vehicle to get Christ to them is the local church. So if you're sitting here tonight, we don't come here meeting because we have nothing else to do. We don't come here punching a clock. We're not coming here just to feel good about ourselves. We're getting together to get something from God that we can give to the rest of the world. And so I trust that God will move in a special way in our services tonight, and that truly we'll hear from him. Take your Bibles and open them to the book of 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Our habit is to stand for the reading of God's word. I hope that won't offend you, especially from a pastor who's sitting down, right? Any rate, most of you may know that back in 2020, I had a very severe case of COVID and almost died. And I never did quite get my lungs back, so a part of this process has been my new normal, and upright requires some strength in my diaphragm that I struggle with when I'm trying to exert energy and project. So I appreciate, I promise you, I may be preaching from a chair physically, but I'm preaching from the Bible. Amen. And that is God's word. 2 Kings chapter number 6. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the Bible and the difference it makes in our lives. I pray, God, that you'll continue to take it and serve it on our hearts. Lord, I can't help this crowd tonight. There's so much out there. We have more access to information in this generation than anyone ever has. But God, tonight, we don't need information. We need inspiration.
Amen.
And oh God, I pray, God, that you take me as your vessel, that you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. I understand that the arm of flesh will fail me, but that Jesus never will. I'm asking you tonight to bind the forces of Satan, put a hedge of protection about this place, and may the devil not hinder the work of the Holy Ghost of God. You do what you do in the service. Now, God, just about four and a half hours up the road from here. I'm begging you to watch over my wife and family, my kids that are in college, my sons that are elsewhere. God, you're so good that you can take better care of them while I'm gone than I could if I were there. And I'm asking you to do that. And then, God, you do something in our hearts. I'm the preacher preaching tonight. I pray, God, that the preacher that gets in the car headed home tonight would be different than the one that showed up, and that every one of us would be changed as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Here in our text tonight, beloved, our scripture is going to introduce us to a group of young men known as the sons of the prophets. Let's say that together. The sons of the prophets. One more time. The sons of the prophets. These are not his biological children or biological children of the prophets. These are young men training in ministry under the prophets, particularly the prophet Elisha. Hear me now. Elisha is teaching inexperienced young men what ministry is all about. By the way, don't you think that's a good pattern found in the Word of God? Titus said the older men should teach the younger men. The older women should teach the younger women. The aged women should teach the younger women. That sounds a little bit better, aged than older. I don't know which one you like. It is what it is, right? Okay. But anyway, it's not just talking about years on earth. It's talking about experience. Here's what he's saying. Those that know should be teaching those that don't know. Those that don't know should be learning from those that do know. Can I tell you, we'd be a whole lot better in Christianity if people who didn't know would learn from those who do know. And we'd be a whole lot better if people who do know would be concerned enough to teach those who don't know. Elisha was on the benefit of receiving teaching from Elijah, and now he's pouring into others what was poured into him. Only there was a problem. In verse number one, the Bible says, these sons of the prophets say to Elisha, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait. It's too small. We don't have enough room to get the job done. Now, this is a very simple question. I'm not trying to set you up. I'm not trying to fool you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. Straightforward. No trick question. Don't you think that trying to build a bigger place, which is what they wanted to do, because they were doing the work of God and the place where they were was not big enough, don't you think that building a bigger place is a good thing? I absolutely do. Let us go and pray thee unto Jordan. Let us go and take thence every man a beam and make a place there. Can we build a bigger place? You agree with me, that's a good thing. Now listen, they're building bigger casinos, aren't they? Building bigger malls. Yeah, they're building a whole lot of places that are filled with sin. I think it's a good thing to build a bigger place so the young men can learn how to do ministry. Amen. So Elisha immediately responds and says, go ye. You can go up there and do it. And then in verse number three, one said, be content, I pray thee. Go with thy servants. In other words, don't just allow us to go. Will you go with us? And the response from Elisha is pretty simple. I will go. By the way, aren't you glad for men of God who don't just send you to do the work, they join you in the work. Amen. Elisha says, I'm not just going to send you up to get it done. I'm going to go with you. They're headed to Jordan, and they're headed to Jordan. We're all in agreement to do a good thing. Now they get to the Jordan River. Remember, cutting down trees, making beams, building a bigger place to do the work of God. It's a good thing. Well, when they get up there to do a good thing, watch this now, a bad thing happens. Here's a question. This is not a trick question. I'm not trying to deceive you. I don't want to embarrass you. I ain't trying to set you up. This is straight up. Do you think it's possible to be fully intending to do something good and something bad happen? Absolutely. You can be trying. You can be planning. You can be intending. You can be preparing. And unintentionally, a bad thing can happen. Watch what's happening. The Bible says as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. Now watch this now. He's using the axe with the axe head to chop down trees. How many of you know you need an axe head to chop down a tree? All right. Now, you can have an axe without an axe head and keep swinging and burn some calories. You can keep swinging and do some cardio. You can keep swinging and make a good TikTok video, but you can't swing without an axe head and chop nothing down. He has lost something he needs. He's missing something he cannot get the job done without. He can stay there. He can watch. He can kill time. He can twiddle his fingers. He can advise the others how to be better. But he can't chop down any wood without his axe. Here's the problem. He's lost it in a place where it's virtually impossible to find it. It's the Jordan River. The Jordan River is not where the cool people go dip for some refreshment. The Jordan River is where Captain Naaman, a chapter prior, was insulted by Elisha's servant Gehazi when he told him to dip. Why don't you pick a nicer river? See, the Jordan River was dirty, it was stinky, it was smelly, it was overflowing, and if you lost something like an axe head in the Jordan River, it was as good as gone, virtually impossible to find. Please understand, this fella needs his axe head. He's there to chop down wood. He's lost his axe head in the Jordan River, and you can't find it there. He's got a problem he can't solve. He's in a quandary he can't get out of. He's run into a bind he can't fix. He's in a situation he can't move around. His back's against the wall and he's stuck. He's cooked, if you don't mind me saying it, and he needs somebody to help him, and he can't get it done on his own but God. Come on now. I said but God. Here's what I like about this passage of scripture. Here's a man who's a human who comes to a problem he can't solve. But he's got a God who's not human. He's heavenly, and he solves the problem. Amen. He lost it in the Jordan River. It was as good as gone. But by the time you get to the end of this story, the man who lost it got it. I wish somebody say amen. I said he lost it, and he got it back. I'm coming here sitting at a church in Clayton, North Carolina, and preacher, I have found out that whether I'm sitting in the building where I pastor at 5811 Hoffman's Lane, Bayless Crossroads, Virginia, 22041, 3 miles south of the Pentagon, right up there in the nation's capital where everybody who's who is working every single day, or whether I ride down 95 and I come to Clayton, North Carolina, or whether I'm in Union, South Carolina, where I was a couple weeks ago, where there are no highways that take you there. You go to the city and you drive 30 miles and you park in Union, South Carolina, and it looked like one of them towns somebody looked like me shouldn't be long in all right now, but I went on down there in Jesus' name, and I made it out in Jesus' name. But I found out it doesn't really matter where you are, whether they fish or whether they work in high rises, everybody has the same kind of problems. And I'll tell you, there's some people sitting in the building tonight. You've been fully engaged in trying to do good things. You're trying to live. You're back on Sunday night because you want to live for God. You got your Bible on your lap because you want. You brought your children here because you want to live for. You came to church this morning because you want to live for God. You come to church on tomorrow night because you want to live for God. You're trying to do your best to live for God. You want to do good. You want to do right. You want to do well. You want to please God. But there are some of you, even though you were fully intending and trying to do something good, some bad things have happened. You've quit reading your Bible like you should. You're not praying like you once did. You're not giving to missions like you did before. Your marriage is kind of on the rocks. Some of you young people aren't as plugged into God as you should. You weren't trying. I don't think people wake up in the morning and say, today's the day I'm going to be the worst Christian I ever was in my life. I just want to be a prodigal. I want to be a hypocrite. I want to run away from God. I want to be a big colossal zero. I want to fail God, lose all my crowns, make a disgracing name of Christianity, and make the Bible look like it doesn't work. I don't believe people do that on purpose, but there's a whole lot of people who did it on accident. Come on now. They lost their I'm talking about their axe head. I'm talking about their fervor and their fire, yes, and their joy, and their drive, and their passion. I'm saying they used to do it, but they don't do it anymore. They once did, but they stopped. They used to have it, but they don't have it anymore. And they've thrown in the towel because it's 2025 in a postmodern society where the world is out of control, and the devil knows that he has but a short time, and people are dropping like flies, and people aren't what they used to be, and they go, well, it's just the way it is in 2025. I want to tell you, 2 Kings 6, God is October 2025, God. Yes, and I've come to tell you, I don't care how murky and how dark and how dirty the world is right now, yes, you can get your axe head back. Amen. Does anybody want it tonight? Yes. Tonight I want to go straight to the text and find out how a man who lost what he needed. By the way, leave it there if you don't want to do your job. Yeah. It's fine. You don't need an axe head if you want to chill. You don't need an axe head if you want to play tic-tac-toe. You don't need an axe head if you want to surf the internet, but you need an axe head if you're going to chop down wood. Yes. I'm coming to ask you, did you come to church just sit on the pew? You're just trying to live, get out of bed, make it back to bed? Is oxygen in your lungs your only goal for the day? Or are you trying to do on planet Earth what God put you here to do? Yes, sir. I reckon you better get your axe head. And I'm telling you, in Jesus' name, you can get it back. Look in the text. How did this fella get his axe head back? How can we leave here sharper, more on fire, with more fervor than we ever have before? First of all, it's going to take a sober reaction, a sober. You got to get serious about it. I said, you got to get serious about it. Look in the text. But as one was felling a beam, verse number 5, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master. The Bible says, and he cried. And he cried. I said, and he cried. You know what that tells me? It bothered him that he lost it. I'll tell you why some people don't get it back. It doesn't bother them that they lost it. It bothers the preacher, but it doesn't bother them. It bothers your wife, but it doesn't bother you. It bothers your husband, but it doesn't bother you. It bothers your parents, but it doesn't bother you. It bothers your kids, but it doesn't bother you. It bothers your friends, but it doesn't bother. The only time you're going to get your axe head back is when it bothers you that you lost it. He says, alas. The word alas there is an old archaic word that we really don't use anymore. But it is a word that is an expression of grief, pity, and sorrow. He didn't say, oh, my bad, no big deal, oh well, I really didn't feel like working anyway. He said, alas. When's the last time? When's the last time your spirit was broken over your lack of Bible reading? Your spirit was bothered over your stale prayer life? When's the last time your marriage being out of whack bothered you like it bothered God? You want revival this week? Let what bothers God bother you.
Amen.
Alas. God, I don't want to stay this way. I want to be in my Bible. It's a problem when I'm not reading. It's a problem when I'm not praying. It's a problem when I'm not serving. I used to be on the bus route. I used to teach the class. I used to come on Wednesday nights. I used to tithe every week. I used to give to missions. I used to be a soul winner. I don't, and it breaks my spirit. Notice not only the broken spirit, but notice the blundered stewardship. Notice in the text, please, he says in verse number 5, alas, master, and then the next phrase, for it was borrowed. This is what I call my blundered stewardship. Stewardship means I don't own it. Stewardship means I'm managing it for someone else. You know why it bothered him that he lost it? He not only was sad that he lost it, but he was sad that he lost it and it didn't even belong to him. Come on now. I mean, it's pretty bad when you lose your money. It's worse when you lose somebody else's money. It's pretty bad when you wreck your car. It's bad when you drive somebody else's car and wreck it. It's bad to go to an amusement park and you can't find your kids. It's worse when you lose somebody else's kids. Come on now. He says, oh boy, wasn't even mine. I borrowed it. What happens when somebody loans me his axe head and I lose it? Well, first of all, by losing it, it's an idle consequence. I can't work without my axe head. I'm idle. It's not only an idle consequence. Something about the intended care. I've not properly taken care of what belonged to someone else. And then thirdly, there's an inevitable conclusion. I can't work. I didn't care for it. I gotta face the one who loaned it to me. Can you imagine that discussion when he got back from the Jordan? So how was the trip? Oh, it was great. How was the ride? It was smooth. How was the weather? It was perfect. How was the food? It was delicious. How was the fellowship? It was sweet. How's my accent? What happened was, listen, here's what he said. What do I do when I look at the man that loaned it to me? Could I tell you, when you lose your axe head, you not only have a broken spirit, but you've got blundered stewardship. I hate to bust your bubble. Your life's not yours. It's loaned to you. Your time's not yours. It's loaned to you. Your kids aren't yours. They're loaned to you. Your talent's not yours, but it's loaned. What happens when I waste what God loaned me? Number one, idle consequence. I can't work without my accent. Number two, intended care. I didn't properly take care of what God gave me. And number three, an inevitable conclusion. Just like that fella's got to face the guy that loaned him the axe head, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to have to look at Jesus. He's going to ask me, what'd you do with that pulpit? What'd you do with your kids? What'd you do with your time? What'd you do with that chance to read your Bible? What'd you do with that Bible? What'd you do with that 10%? What'd you do with that missions giving? What'd you do with that worship? What'd you do with those gospel tracts? They were in the shelf. They were in the foyer. You got taught by your church. You were raised by your family. You went to youth group. Revive was at your church, and you're not living for God. Do you want to look at Jesus and know you messed up what he loaned you? Oh, in order to get our axe head back, takes a sober reaction. Number two, in order to get our axe head back, for this fella, it took a strategic return. A strategic return. And the text, alas, alas. But notice he said, alas, master. Alas, master. And then verse number 6, and the man of God said, where fell it? So, So in order to have a strategic return, first of all, it requires accepted support. You know what this fellow realized? I'm in a problem. I can't fix myself. I need backup. You know, I found out about a lot of Christians. They're too proud to ask for backup. Listen, just because you said I do and she said I do doesn't mean you don't need counseling.
Yes, sir.
Come on. Well, I don't want somebody, I don't want the pastor all in my business. Well, when you get divorced, the whole town will be. God help us. Well, you're struggling, young person, with clicking on something you shouldn't click on. If you're struggling, sir, with drinking something you shouldn't drink. If you're struggling, ma'am, with going places you shouldn't go. Ask somebody right with God for help. Elisha, help me. You know God. You got the power of God on you. You got the time. And by the way, don't just ask anybody. Ask somebody with God on them. Sometimes I talk to people. They say, Pastor, I've messed up. I've fallen into sin. I've done something I shouldn't do. All right, let's talk about it. Now, have you told anybody about it? Yeah, I told Timmy and Bobby and Susie and Jerry and Donnie. You know what all of them have in common? They got the same problem you got. Have you ever thought about talking? I mean, listen to me. I'm not against blind people, but I'm not going to ask them to help me walk across the street. Right? And listen, you better ask somebody who knows where he's going if you're looking for direction. He accepted support, and then notice there was an acknowledged spot. Not only accepted support, but an acknowledged spot. Look at verse number 6. And the man of God said, what's the question? Where fell it? This is deep. You lost it. Oh, yeah, I lost it. Here comes Elisha. Where you drop it at? You know what he's saying? The best place to go when you lost something is where it fell. Amen. Pastor, you have an office in the building, don't you? I've been in it before. Several times, right? You saw me when I got here tonight. Right? Did I go to your office? Okay. Supposedly the service is over in just a few moments and I'm getting ready to leave and I can't find my keys. I said, oh my, and this happens often. I have an AirTag on my keys that my wife, I only have an iPhone. She got an AirTag. If I lose my keys, I got to call her. Amen. Let's say I can't find my keys. I said, I don't know where I lost my keys. Oh my goodness. Pastor, can we check your office? What would you say? It doesn't make sense to go look in a spot where I haven't been. I see people all the time, I need to get back right with God. When you get back right with God, go back to the place where you were. I hear people say all the time, my money is all messed up. My finances are terrible. My credit is terrible. I'm in all kinds of debt. You weren't in debt when you were tithing. You know, if you want to get your money right, you ought to go back to the place where it was right. Well, I tell you what, I'm just miserable. I have no joy in my life. But when I read my Bible, I had a lot of joy. You know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to go get me a new church that doesn't even preach the Bible. No, you better go back to the spot where you drop it. Where fell it? Where was the place where you had your fire? When was the time when you were excited about God? What were you doing when you experienced joy? How were you living when you and God were fellowshipping? You don't need to scratch a lottery ticket. You don't need to change relationships if that's not the problem. You better go back to the spot where you dropped it, and that's probably where you're going to find it. It's a sober reaction. There's a strategic return. Then thirdly and lastly, there's a supernatural remedy. Now listen, look at me. For this fella, to get that axe head back out of the Jordan River, listen to me, God's going to have to do it. Did you hear me? I said, God, listen. We can have meetings. We can have conferences. We can have how-to services. We can have ladies' retreats. We can have couples' retreats. We can have youth rallies. We can have special services. We can have crusades. We can have camps. We can have fireside chats. We can have we can have everything you want to have, but if we're going to get revival, we need God. It's a supernatural remedy. And I'm telling you, I still believe in 2025 that God is capable of the supernatural.
Amen.
Notice, if you would, the remarkable power. He showed him the place. And when he showed him the place, the Bible said he cut down a stick. I know. You're probably like Naaman right now. Cut down a stick. I was expecting some fancy little preacher-fied phrase, you know, and a boom. Shaka-laka-laka-laka-laka. Surely that's what he was. No, no, he cut down a stick. He used an unlikely method. By the way, when you need God, don't ask God for help and then tell him how to do it. I've had people say, we got revival in 3 months. I'm going to get right with God like God's dead tomorrow. You really think you need a meeting, a special speaker, and an off night to get right with God? No, 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 no. Let God be God however he wants to. Oh, my favorite song. I love to hear my favorite preacher. Listen to me. It ain't the preacher. It's what he's preaching. It's not the messenger. It's the message. Stop gearing up and teeing God up for your kind of a miracle. Oh, I love it when she's, I used to always be concerned at church when certain people showed up because a certain person was preaching. Come on now. If you come in to hear the Bible, the Holy Ghost is preaching.
Amen. That's right.
There's a stick coming now. It's an unlikely method that produces an undeniable miracle. Look in the text, please. In verse number 6, he cut down a stick and cast it in thither. Nothing very fantastic about that. Nothing sensational about that. I'll tell you what is sensational, though. And the iron did swim. Say it with me. And the iron did. I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We've read the Bible so long, we read stuff in the Bible like it happens all the time. Iron don't swim. And the iron did swim, and the iron did swim. And the iron, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that yesterday when I was out and about. I was just walking down the road and had a river down there, and iron was just swimming down there. Matter of fact, people's irons that they'd use for their pants, it was just swimming on down the river. Iron, come on, somebody help me preach. God does what Buddha doesn't do. He does what Muhammad doesn't do. He does what Mary never did. He does what the Pope never does. He does what you and I cannot do. God is in the miracle business.
Amen.
Some of you got a prodigal who's away from God. You got a marriage that's barely hanging on. You got a Christian life that's stale. You got a prayer life that's non-existent. You've got Bible reading that's sporadic. And it looks like it can't happen. I'm here to tell you, if God can make iron swim, he can do something in your life tonight.
Amen.
It's the remarkable power of God. But wait a minute. That's what God did. What about the fella? What about this fella in the story? I mean, does he have any responsibility? I mean, God's going to make the iron swim, and God is God. I said God is, somebody help me. God is God. But is God being God the only thing that matters if you're going to serve him? See, there's remarkable power in this story. But there's also a responsible person in this story. This fella is not without responsibility. God gonna do his part, but watch this now. The fella's gotta do, listen. So somebody said, I'm glad, everybody ought to be glad I showed up at church tonight. Wrong. You should be glad God knew you were coming and he came anyway. Listen to me. Thank God I got down 95, but the game changer in this service tonight is not Kenny Baldwin. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm glad he showed up tonight.
Amen.
But what if he does? What if Jesus shows up tonight, and I believe he's here? Does that mean you'll get revival? Jesus pastored Judas. Judas is in hell.
Yes, sir.
The remarkable power of God is at work, but here is the responsible person that makes this thing come together when God is at working. Notice the responsible person. First of all, realized availability. The Bible says, and the iron did swim, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, take it up to thee. Listen, first thing that fella's got to do is realize that's there for the taking. Listen, God didn't have it swimming for an illusion show. God had it swimming so that guy could get it back. I've come to tell you tonight, we didn't just come here to sing Kumbaya. We came here because there's something available that God has for us tonight.
Amen.
I'm glad we're not just reading some liturgy or quoting some memorized speeches. I'm glad we're not just here punching the clock or fulfilling community service. I'm glad we're here because there's something in the work of God available for us tonight.
Amen.
Realized availability. Now watch this now. He said, take it up. Look at verse number 7. It's what I call the reaching accessibility. The Bible said, and he put out his hand. Realize availability. It's there. Hey, did you come to church tonight believing that God has something for you? It's there. Yeah. After he realized the availability, notice the reaching accessibility. He put out his hand. Could we all do that together? Come on. Put out your hand. Every parent knows what that means. Huh? Don't you? It don't mean give me five. It might mean five, but it ain't no five fingers. $5, right? Every husband knows what this means. That means give me the credit card, right? Hey, listen. When you put your hand out, you know what that means? You're expecting something.
Amen.
I said, you're expecting something. You know why he put his hand out? He wanted something in it.
Yes. That's right.
Two people leave the same service every time there is one. Two people leave the same service. One of them go, man, that was good. Man, the pastor preached. Boy, it felt like he was talking right to me. Did my wife call him? Man, boy, God spoke to me. Man, that Bible was real. I got what I needed. I went to the altar. I'm different. I changed. I'm not going to be the same way. Oh, I'm full. Man, church was good this morning. I can't wait till tomorrow night. If it was good tonight, it's going to be good tomorrow night. I can't wait to be there. This is what it's all about. Somebody else leave the same, sir. It was all right. I ain't get nothing. Matter of fact, best part of the service, when he finished, I'm glad this thing is over. I just slept through it. I was checking my phone for social media, checking the scores for the games. I don't ever get anything out of the service. Matter of fact, I'm going to find me another church.
Amen.
Now, how in the world one guy left full and the other guy left empty? It's really not that deep. Somebody had his hand out and somebody didn't. Two guys can go to Fogo de Chao with their bill paid for. That's an all-you-can-eat steakhouse. There can be a buffet up there that you get to before. That before you get to it, that buffet's got a bunch of food. And then they got meat. They can take that meat if you ask for it and you got that sign flipped on green. They'll put it on your plate. You can have a plate full of meat. You can sit there for 2 hours at Fogo de Chao with your bill paid for with a plate full of meat. You can get up out there and leave and eat nothing and post online, I'll never go back to this place again. I was there for 2 hours and I didn't eat nothing. This is the worst Brazilian steakhouse I've ever eaten that. And then somebody said, didn't you have your bill paid for? Yeah. Didn't the food get on your plate? Yeah. Didn't you have the opportunity? Did you eat? No, I didn't eat nothing. Don't blame the restaurant. Come on now. If the buffet is hot, get up off your blessed assurance and put something on your plate.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm asking you, you want God tonight? He's here. Put your hand out. Somebody said to me years ago, Pastor, my wife and I are not growing anymore. And we just think we need to go somewhere else. I said, are you going with you? I said, when you go to the next church, do you plan to go with you? Well, yes, Pastor. I said, well, don't grow. You won't grow there either.
Right.
See, you don't grow because the pastor forces the food down your throat. He puts it out there and you got to pick it up and eat it. Now I'm asking you, did you come for revival to check it off on your calendar, or did you come for revival with your hand out tonight? There's a realized availability. There's a reaching accessibility. There's a receiving actuality. Notice the scripture said, and he took it. Boy, isn't it amazing? Same guy had it, got it back. Hey, listen, we got 3 nights together. Can I tell you, you're going to get what you take. I said, you're going to get what you take.
Amen.
Hey, shame on you for God to put something out there for you and you not take it.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hey, teenager, take it. Hey, sir, take it. Ma'am, take it. Single adult, take it.
Amen.
Couple just getting married, take it. Youth group, preachers, take it. Staff members, take it. Deacons, take it. Sunday school teachers, take it. Bus workers, take it. I tell you something about God, he got something for everybody. There's an opportunity when there's a realized accessibility. It's there. There's a reaching availability. Put your hand out. There's a receiving actuality. Take it. And here's the last one. It's not even in the text. It's not even in the text. But I'll tell you what. I think I'm okay to assume it. Some of you say, oh, we got one of them preachers, stuff not in the Bible. No. Watch this here. It's common sense. Why did he go to the Jordan in the first place? What did he go for? Why? You sharp young man, you listening. What's your name? Devon, I appreciate you, Devon, for listening. They said he went there to chop some wood. While he was chopping wood, he lost the axe head, right? By God's grace and God's power, he got it back. Don't you think common sense say, if he went there to chop down wood and he lost it chopping down wood, when he got it back, he went back to chopping down wood? Pastor, we haven't been to church in a while because the car broke down. Put us on the prayer list, would you? Would you pray for a church member that whose car wasn't working? You would. You wouldn't even lead the church to pray for him? Then I find out from somebody they got a car. But I still ain't seen them. Now, we done prayed that vehicle into your garage. And you driving it everywhere but the place that was praying for you. Good. I'm going to pray you get a flat tire.
Yes, sir.
You wanted it back, didn't you? You wanted revival, huh? You wanted revival. Didn't you say you wanted revival?
Yes, sir.
What you going to do with it? God didn't give that man an axe head back so he could post it online and go, look at my beautiful axe head after I cleaned it up out of the Jordan River. No, buddy, we ain't here posing. That's what's wrong with Christianity. We're red carpet people walking down with models and mannequins trying to look good instead of getting the job done for God. Good gracious alive. Who cares how many places you've done or how many things you've done or how many people you personally led to the Lord in your false humility you want to post online? Good gracious alive. Go chop down some wood for Jesus.
Amen.
I don't want to make myself look good. I want to bring glory to Him.
Amen.
I've been bought with a price. I've been purposed. We're all here tonight on a Sunday night. We're all works in progress. Come on, Najee. Me too. I'm the preacher. I don't have it all together, but I'm working on it.
Yes. Amen.
Wouldn't it be something if we came out of this revival with axe heads in our hand? Mm-hmm. Chopping down. What you mean chopping down? Reaching people. Reading our Bible. Praying. Being faithful. Honoring God. Living for Him. After all, you may not have intended to lose it, but with God's help, you can.